Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. Since 2009, HRN podcasts have been exploring the wide world of food, beverage, and agriculture. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
Welcome to a very special haunted episode of your favorite spooky evil podcast, Life's a Banquet, with you, me, your host, a spaghetti strand.
With ye. And me, a meatball.
Hello, little meatball. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, spaghetti strand?
I'm a haunted spaghetti strand haunted to you, sir.
Spaghetti strand. Senior Haunted Spaghetti Strand, how are you?
It's getting crazy in here already. It's already off the hinges. I'm good. I'm just like, I don't know. I still feel a little wacky from jet lag, which normally doesn't affect me, but I just got back like a week ago, but I'm still not quite back to normal. I'm rolling, as my mom would say, I'm rolling around like a rotisserie chicken all night long. Huh. And so I feel a little strange.
That is strange. So you're not sleeping well and you're being stabbed through with skewers.
Yes, and I'm rubbed with rosemary and garlic.
That sounds really messy for your sheets.
Maybe all the garlic is keeping me up. Who knows? But I love when Bobby says that because it just makes me think of her like rolling around with glossy tan skin. Legs that will break off if you pull them.
Well, are you tan? I can't really tell in this computer lighting.
Not really, no. Not as tan as I'd like to be.
I'm very tan, but it's, you know, every minute that passes that I'm not out in the sun is fading away.
I know. That's how I feel. I think I also might have skin cancer on my face, honestly. So
oh, yeah.
I'm trying to stay out.
You just got to wear a straw hat.
Yes, or a beekeeper's outfit.
Yeah, you just wear the beekeeper's outfit on your head, and then the rest of your body can be tan, and your skin cancer won't become worse.
That's true. Just the beekeeping veil. Speaking of which, this brings me to a question I have for you since we haven't caught up in a while. I just saw the major motion picture, Nope. Have you seen it?
I haven't. I have not seen it.
No. I liked it. I thought maybe we could talk about it, but
sorry.
I guess we can't.
I guess I just haven't been going to the movies. And I truly have not been going to the movies. I no longer go to the movies anymore. I don't know why.
I hadn't been in quite a long time either, but I went 2 days ago to see Nope, and I thought it was tonally super fun and, like, had a great vibe to it. Like, the tone was great. The plot, maybe not so much, but the acting and the vibe was good and scary.
Well, one of my coworkers and friends hated it, and she was like, I hate this movie, and the monster in it is a kite. And I was like, spoiler alert. I was like, so now I know that there's a kite, a menacing kite.
That's true. There is a menacing kite, which starts off as a flying saucer for no reason somewhere at the end does become a kite.
Which we're spoiling for. Spoiler alert after the fact, which is what we like to do. Warn you that we're going to spoil it after we've spoiled it. So our apologies.
Folks, are you sick and tired of kites? So are we. They're the biggest threat facing our nation today. Don't go to the beach. If you see a kite, call the police. They'll shoot it.
Yes. They will show up with 40 of their closest friends and shoot at the kite repeatedly until innocent bystanders have been murdered. They're specifically trained for this. Those crazy, funny little cops. They're so wacky.
Police, they're just like us, except they kill people for no reason, and we don't.
And also, they hate kites, too.
Yes, they hate kites. Unless they're wearing them, am I right?
I don't get it.
That's a joke about the police being in the KKK. Anyway, let's move on. Okay.
That one didn't totally land, but I get it now.
You're listening to a food podcast. But before we get to that, I want to talk about some celebrity gossip for a goddamn change. Now, I had recently seen the trailer for this film, Don't Worry, Darling.
Oh, this is what I want to talk about, too. I'm so excited. This is the most fun celebrity. But first, before we begin, we need to talk about Jennifer Lopez, who's we decided we were never going to speak of again officially. We announced it to the, we did a press conference and we told the nation that we're not going to talk about her anymore. And then she goes and gets married. So we have to talk about her. And this last week when we didn't record, she's in the news again because she kicked out some backup dancers for being Virgos. Yeah. She apparently she was like, listen, before you can be in my backup dance crew, I need to check your astrological sign. And if they were Virgos, she was like, get out of here. I don't get along with Virgos. Bye.
Really? Wow. I guess she goes to my astrologer, Bob Cook.
Yeah. Is he anti-Virgo?
Hates Virgos. Hates them. Virgo, Schmirgo. That's what he says.
And then also this week, she's back in the news wearing a see-through white dress and Adidas strappy sandals, which the newspaper article that I read, it was in the newspaper, said was a shocking and unexpected choice of shoes, which is why it was in the news.
I agree that it was shocking and unexpected. I saw this outfit and I did not care for it. And I said, do better, JLo.
Wait, did you really see it?
Yeah, I did.
Well, I was just like, I kind of want those Adidas sandals that she had on. They're cute.
Me too, but the dress, is that's a no for me. Dog.
Yeah, well, like, you know, she's made some, ever since the wedding day, really, she's made some questionable dress choices.
I agree. She's, like, dowdy now. She's like, I'm a married woman now. I'm going to dress in, like, a fucking Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Well, she is on the brink of death. She's in her 50s, so, you know, let her have it.
Her last golden years.
But, yeah, I have been following this Don't Worry, Darling drama with, well, on the edge of my seat with bated breath. I just can't wait to see what happens next. But what were you going to report on?
The trailer looks really good. I was like, this looks like a really fun movie. And then I read that it got bad reviews, so I was disappointed. And then I saw Harry Styles potentially spit
on Chris. Okay, so I watched that video like 600 times. It's a post, and then I read every single comment that's on Instagram about it. And I like the person whose theory is that Olivia Wilde is talking through her teeth, so you can't tell, and that she said something to Chris Pine, which is why he does that little move that he did. Which, if you watch it really, really closely, like I have, that seems plausible to me.
Totally. I also read that he put his sunglasses down and then, like, looked and, had a moment and was like, where are my sunglasses? And was like, oh, I realized I just put them down in my lap. Oh, I'm so stupid. I'm Chris Pine. But let's talk about the real issue here, though, is Chris Pine's hairdo.
Well, I was going to say that I actually think that I, for the first time, find him attractive.
I do, too. But he does look like an evil genius, which is kind of sexy. And he also kind of looks like Katie Lang, which is also sexy.
I didn't know that he was the best Chris, because, you know, like, all the actors that exist today are named Chris.
Yes.
So apparently he's the best Chris, like the nicest Chris. And he's not Chris Pratt, who I guess has sort of fallen out of favor.
Ew, Chris Pratt is a turd.
Yeah. So he's the best one. I like his long, flowing, beautiful blonde hair. The other thing that really struck me is that I fucking hate Harry Styles' outfit that he's wearing with that giant collar. I normally like his little wacky outfits, but I did not.
I do too. I hate it too.
Like that, I was like, this is troubling to me, and no one's even mentioning it.
Yes. I think that he didn't get spit on, but I love thinking that he did. The brazenness and somebody just spitting on the person next to them.
Yeah.
And then them for 2 hours watching a movie. Well, it's amazing. It's in my early
I'm also just interested. Do you know this? All the drama came about allegedly because Florence Pugh is not at the press stuff, and she wasn't going to any of that stuff. Allegedly, because she is mad at Olivia Wilde for starting to date Harry Styles during filming because apparently Florence Pugh, who's like 12 years old, is really good friends with Jason Sudeikis.
What?
That's what I read.
That is weird. They're just like us, except not at all.
She's
because
like,
they killed
dude,
for no reason.
It's like not okay for you to fucking cheat on your husband, my dear friend, Jason Sudeikis, who is 40 years older than I am. And as a result, I will not go to the press tour for this movie.
Wow.
It all seems pretty stupid to me. But I mean, now everyone's talking about it, so maybe that's a good thing for Olivia Wilde, director and dater of younger men.
I'm excited to see it. I like that she has a hot young boyfriend. I don't like his collar. I do like to think he spit on Chris Pine.
Also, like, the whole point of him spitting on Chris Pine would be just because Chris Pine said that he liked Florence Pugh as an actor. I don't think that warrants spitting. But
spitting, no. Spitting is, like, pretty bad. That's, like, as far as we can go down. I was going to mention, we were talking about J-Lo, another large-butted person. Kim Kardashian's Interview magazine cover.
Yeah. I just looked at
it. I was aghast.
I looked at it.
I was
aghast. You were aghast at the photo shoot. They invited you on set.
Powder.
She looks like powder. I thought she looked good, actually. I mean, she's completely unrecognizable, but I like the look.
I didn't really even mind the blonde eyebrow look so much as, like, I was just like, what is this photo? It's just your butt hanging out of jeans.
Yeah,
like, I don't
get that either. I was just like, I want to bleach my eyebrows is what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, like the eyebrow, like, hair was fine, but I was like, this is the most, like, tasteless photograph for a magazine. Like, and it's not just about the butt, like the paper magazine cover she did where she had that glossy butt and she was wearing, like, the, you know,
she broke the internet. Yes,
when she broke the internet, was great. But I was just like, this is just like, I don't know, looks kind of like some smutty, like, weird 1970s, like, porn that somebody made in the backyard. I don't know.
Yeah, I wasn't that into it either. But that reminds me of another Kim Kardashian-related item, since we're just doing celebrity gossip and nothing else today, is that when Kanye tweeted out that Kim has diarrhea more than a normal person.
I didn't read that. That's so funny.
And then he came back and he was like, somebody stole my Twitter and wrote this. I didn't write this. And I was like, yes, you did. And I believe it.
He wrote she has diarrhea more than a normal person.
He's like, Kim has diarrhea a lot, like, way more than a normal person.
Well, I mean, she could have colitis, but I feel like because I've recently started watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Yeah, they do cleanses all day. They basically have liquid diet, so that would make sense.
And they eat, like, good food. They're always eating, like, shitty crap, like, food, and then, doing cleanses. I'm sure she does have diarrhea a lot.
That's what I'm saying. I believe it wholeheartedly. Just own it, Kanye.
I love it. It's funny. And I like thinking about it in tandem with the cover of Interview Magazine. That butt hanging out of the jeans, just squirting diarrhea everywhere. Welcome to a podcast on Heritage Radio.
Hopefully you weren't eating your Sloppy Joes when we're talking about Kim Kardashian's leaky butt.
If anybody's eating chia seed pudding right now.
No.
Okay, well, guys, we have a topic today, an actual structured topic, a topical topic, as we like to do a topic that is right behind whatever has just happened. So today we're doing summer because it's over.
Summer is over, never to be heard from again.
Goodbye.
But I told you I was going to do hard seltzers, but I veered off. And now, as I was doing my research, I'm worried that you've already covered this topic, but it's too late and we have to cover it again. Okay.
Let's see what happens.
We're going to do, if we did cover it before, I have no memory of it. And that's you. Hopefully you don't either, listeners. So I'm deciding to cover, I was on a journey to do the hard seltzer history, which is a pretty interesting history, but it just led me right up to the history of Zima, which
No, we haven't done that. That's so fun. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm dying to hear.
Yeah, so here we go, Zima. And, you know, listener, we're talking about the 90s here, so hopefully you're going to have to do some research of your own because you were not old enough to know what was going on in the 90s because you weren't born. okay, so Zima was a malt beverage that was created by Coors. It was part of the early 90s clear craze, which involved most famously, crystal clear Pepsi. But then the article, I got this all from a 2008 Slate article, by the way. So top news right here. Crystal clear Pepsi, they also said they mentioned Menin crystal clean deodorant. Do you remember that, Sev?
Yes, I do. Yeah. And also, I want to interject quickly. I don't know if you have this, but David and I were talking about the other day, Clearly Canadian.
Yeah, I loved Clearly Canadian.
Clearly Canadian, because we were talking about famous Canadians, and then we started going about Clearly Canadian, and we're like, Avril Lavigne, Clearly Canadian.
Yes, Clearly Canadian. Then it also brought up the clear Apple computers, which I didn't really associate with the clear craze, but it was true. There was also like clear Game Boys. Everything was clear. Your phone was clear.
A clear phone. And of course, crystal clear Amoco Ultimate.
Yes, Amoco Ultimate. And there was also clear. Tab Clear, which I did not know about.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Lots of clear things.
Yeah. So there was also clear beer. Miller made a clear beer, and it was called Clear Beer. And
such a clear beer.
And for some reason, people were like, we don't fucking want to drink that, dog. And so they did not do well. Stroh's also made a clear beer called Clash. And Pabst. Stroh's. It's a beer brand.
Okay.
And Pabst made a beer called Eisenklar. Which is a clear beer as well. And the reason you never heard of those is because I think they sold like two cans and everyone was like, this is disgusting. But the way that you make yourself a little Zima is you take your lowest grade beer and you filter it through charcoal, which removes both color and flavor. So then it's just a flavorless, colorless liquid. And then you add some citrus flavors back in to make it palatable for the audience. So basically they're like, what we need to do is men drink a ton of beer, but we need to get more men to drink beer because there are some men out there who don't like beer, but we know that those men also think that they're too macho for Boone's Farm, a chick drink.
Oh, right. That's true. That peach Farm does not speak to the bodybuilding community.
Yeah, I like the strawberry. There was like a strawberry melon Boone's Farm that I was into, which is, does Boone's Farm even still exist? We should do a whole article about them too.
Yeah, we should do a hard-hitting expose.
Yeah, we got to get down to the really dirty underbelly of Boone's Farm.
Where is Boone's Farm anyway?
Yeah, is it even a real farm? So in order to get these mysterious men who do not want to drink Boone's Farm, they told sports stores specifically, do not put this Zima near fucking wine coolers because we don't want dudes to think that these are chick drinks. These are dude drinks. You know, gender was very powerful in the 90s, so it was important. So they're like, okay, don't put it near the wine coolers because then dudes will think that this is a chick drink. And the stores were like, okay, dude, whatever you say. And so they decided to spend $38 million that year promoting it, the year it was launched, 1994, which is more than they spent promoting Coors Light that year. So they really believed in their product. The commercial, which I do not remember, but apparently the original commercial was a dude wearing a top hat who replaced all of his S's with Z's. So they the brand was like something different for Zima. And
I'm obviously a member of this. I love
Z's. Something different. And it didn't really tell you what Zima was. So people were like, ooh, I'm intrigued. And then America went wild. They estimated that 70% of all people who drank alcohol in the United States tried Zima.
Whoa. Jesus Christ.
So they sold, that first year, they sold 1.3 million barrels. I don't know. I don't understand how a barrel translates to like a bottle of Zima, but whatever. It seems like a lot. But Basically what they assume is that people tried it once and then never tried it again because there were a lot of complaints about the flavor of Zima. Some people said that it tasted like tinfoil soaked in Fresca.
I do like Fresca and tinfoil. Separately, though.
Yes, separately. Delicious. They described it as a flat Sprite or a flat Mountain Dew. Tonic water mixed with antifreeze. And my personal favorite, scotch tape with lime.
You get a scotch tape with lime?
But some people tried to make it work. College students were apparently really into mixing it with schnapps. And they called it Nogzima.
That's fucking gross. Schnapps,
schnapps and Zima. Who the hell knows? We were doing the Jolly Rancher thing. Wasn't that what we mixed with Jolly Ranchers when we were teens?
I don't remember. I mean, I really mostly remember 99 Bananas, which was
I was just talking about that recently.
We should do also a thing about 99 Bananas. What the fuck was that?
It's a liqueur that also, what someone just told me recently is that there's also like 99 raspberry and there's other flavors.
Other than banana.
Yeah.
Really?
I had no idea.
But it's like 99 proof. It's like.
Yeah, that's right. It's called. Yeah. So they're like, we took 99 bananas and we made them taste like runts and drink this. Teens.
Drink the worst flavored runt.
So despite all of Coors' male marketing techniques, women started drinking Zima. And they were like, this sucks. Because women drink less beer than men. Or in general, women drink less than men, period. Because they're busy, like, cleaning the house, whining, nagging, and, like, getting their nails done, you know? So, like, they just don't have as much time.
Period.
Yeah, they're having their period. They're pregnant sometimes. Like 9 months out of the year, you can't drink. And so according to the Slate article, once a woman was spotted drinking Zima, men refused to touch it ever again. and so the sales started to plummet. Coors was also accused of directly marketing Zima to high school students who believed that Zima could not be detected on a breathalyzer.
Because
I just think that that's the most hilarious thing. They're like, yeah, dude, can't be detected on it. Well, you know, vodka is also clear, and you can definitely detect that on a breathalyzer, I assume. I've never been breathalyzed, knock on wood.
Be careful.
Also, David Letterman jumped on the anti-Zima train, which apparently I read multiple articles where they said that David Letterman was really harping on Zima, which partially is to blame for why sales tanked, I guess. People were like, if David Letterman doesn't like this drink, I don't either.
I'm trendsetter David Letterman. But he was very influential.
Yeah,
in the
90s. Yeah, it was his heyday. So in order to try to get dudes back into the Zima fold, they had a new bunch of ads where dudes were playing pickup football while drinking Zima.
Just jerking each other.
Yeah, they're just like shirtless, probably playing volleyball, I'm assuming. Then that didn't work, so they came up with Zima Gold, which they put the color back into the clear Zima and put a little bit more alcohol in it, and that lasted on the shelves for 3 months before they pulled for lack of sales.
Oh my god.
Then they refused to give up, though. In 2000, they altered the formula to make it taste more like Sprite. And I feel like this is actually the Zima that I probably tasted because I don't remember it tasting like tinfoil soaked in Fresca. I remember it tasting good. and like, I wasn't really drinking that much in high school. I didn't start really drinking till in college. So maybe this is the Zima I remember. But so this new Sprite-like Zima was marketed as like a thirst quencher for the hottest days. And it sales did actually go up a little bit because of that, but it was nothing like it had been in 1994. 2004, Zima's like, okay, we're going to come up with Zima Triple X that has 5.9% alcohol and its flavors are hard punch and hard orange. And the reason for this is because they were losing a bunch of sales to Smirnoff Ice, which had come onto the scene.
Oh, yes. And that's delicious beverage. You know, I just want to stop here for a second. The whole conversation that, like, you know, fucking corporate people and whatever we'll have about unskilled labor for people who actually, like, work really hard, blue-collar workers, servers, etc. To think that, like, a corporate executive, like, probably makes millions of dollars a year, and the name they came up with was Hard Orange, yeah. And that's supposed to be skilled labor?
Orange.
Hard orange?
Hard.
Fuck you.
It's orange, but it's hard. Like a
so
runt.
Stupid. And these people, like a runt. These people are like, this man probably owns a boat or like two boats.
This
and
man
yet,
definitely
like,
owns a boat for sure.
Hard, yo, bro. Wouldn't call it hard orange, okay? All right. I'll get a 730 res at Dorsia. And like, yeah. You know, we throw shade at people who like break their backs every day, like building things. But anyway, it's just ridiculous.
Well, yeah, but also, I don't know. Was 2004, was Dorsia still the place that execs were going, or had it
No, Dorsia is fake. It never existed.
Oh, just right, because that's just it. But that's just in the 80s, supposed to be. Well, from.
Yes, exactly.
From the movie, which I can't remember the name of it now.
American Psycho.
American Psycho. Great. Good job.
The Nicole Bailey story.
So yeah, they did this. They came up with Hard Orange, the best name for a drink on earth, because they were trying to compete with Smirnoff Ice, which people allegedly, according to the Slate article, they said that Smirnoff Ice has so many sales because people think it has vodka in it. Where I was like, I guess people might think that, especially in 2008, which was a different time. So also, I just want to sidebar here. Smirnoff Ice makes a zero sugar Smirnoff Ice, which I am a huge fan of, although it's very hard to find.
You know what I want to sidebar and say is that malt liquor beverages like Mike's Hard Lemonade and like Smirnoff Ice and I'm assuming Zima give me Kim Kardashian style diarrhea. And like that might be her problem too.
You have it lot more than normal people when you're drinking Hard Orange.
I haven't had it in a long time, but in high school, I remember like being like, oh no, like why is my stomach hurt? And then I would like kind of trace it back and it's like, it's all this fucking Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Yeah. Well, you're not, I mean, Mike's Hard Lemonade is so sugary too, though. If you drank like six of those, that's like drinking six Coca-Colas.
That's true. It's fucked up.
Okay, so this is 2004. They're like, can somebody please drink our delicious Hard Orange? And then they were like, but then they had an epiphany up in the executive office. And they're like, you know what? Maybe it's not so bad that chicks drink Zima. So let's just try to get them. At least someone will be drinking Zima. If it's not men, why not women? So they pivoted again and they made a lower calorie, less alcoholic, fruity flavors because women love fruity flavors. And they, you know, just basically tried to have one last gasp, but it didn't work that well. And they changed some laws in a couple of states that also made it more difficult to sell malt liquor in that way. So they just were like, let's just give up. So they gave up. They did not give up until 2008, though. They lasted for that long. And as of the 2008 article in Slate, there was a petition to get Zima reignited, reintroduced to the society, and 53 people had signed it.
53.
They were trying to get a million signatures and only 53 signed up. But as we all know, because we live in the future, Zima actually did come back around briefly in 2017. Do you remember that?
I don't, but I'm going to go ahead and say thanks Obama to that.
Yeah, so 2017, people were like, Zima is back, baby. And everyone was like, yay! And I also was like that. I was like, yay! And yeah, they had them in the bodegas in New York.
Really?
Yeah, so I had like a Zima, and then they disappeared once again, never to be heard from.
Well, I can only hope that it comes back. Maybe some high-level celebrity endorsement, like, I don't know, Sylvester Stallone or something.
Yeah, we're friggin' Florence Pugh, man. If she can get on that Zima tip at this height of America paying attention to her, they could do no wrong.
That's true. Or, like, Harry Styles and Chris Pine could, like, use this scandal as some kind of, like, marketing play for Zima, where, like, Harry Styles takes a sip of, like, a Smirnoff Ice and, like, spits it out on Chris Pine. He's like, and then someone hands him a Zima instead.
Oh, man, sorry, Armin, that my neighbors are mowing the lawn.
No, it sounds great because someone across the street from me is like building a new house on this block again.
Okay, good idea.
Whatever noise here is when I decide to record something. And today's the day. Anyway, that was a very fun story. Yes. Interesting.
Yeah. It had highs and lows. We laughed, we cried.
We had a ball, a clear ball. Okay, let's take a little break. And after these messages, we'll be right back.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Okay, folks. Look, you had a little break. You had some time to get used to the fact that you can no longer get Zima. And now, alas, here we are. It's time. Are you ready for a story of your favorite day of the year, the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest Day?
I'm so ready for this. And I just feel like there's not enough information out there. So I'm really glad that we're digging into this.
Me too. We're chowing down. I'm excited too, although I have to be honest, I find competitive eating to be morally wrong and disgusting to look at. However,
you think it's morally wrong? They're not wasting the food, they're eating it.
I guess that's true, but I think then they throw it up. Now, look, here we go.
They can't throw it up.
I think they can throw it up after they're done eating. Definitely not when they're eating. Unless they eat the throw up. Then I wonder back.
What is the time limit? Like, how long do you have to keep it down before?
I think just until the buzzer goes off, and then you can do whatever you want with it.
The buzzer?
Yeah, the buzzer. I didn't say the buzzer. I said the buzzard.
The buzzard goes off and flies away, and then you can throw up your food.
Once the buzzard flies off, it's fine.
I was just thinking of, so there's that scene in Stand By Me where the kid's eating the blueberry pie. Is it the pie eating contest?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And then everyone's throwing up.
Everyone throws up, which is a great moment in cinematic history. So on that note,
amazing.
Tell me more.
I just like find watching people do this to be disgusting in every way. But so I got my information from nathansfranks.com and also the Saturday Evening Post in an article by Jake Elsterman, which I thought the Saturday Evening Post was like not a thing anymore.
Well, I was just going to ask you, is it still around?
I guess because I read an article online and Norman Rockwell illustrated it.
Because I was going to say, is he still drawing the covers for them?
His ghost.
Ghost is drawing. Okay, well, that's too spooky for September. We had to hold on to that story for Halloween.
Haunted Norman Rockwell, digital creator. Okay. Now, let's get into this. So Nathan Handwacker, which is a funny last name, let's admit it.
Handwacker?
It's Handwacker. Okay. However, I'm sure he was teased relentlessly
yes,
as a child.
Naturally.
Public school. Nathan Handwacker, a Polish immigrant living in New York in the 1910s, was credited with like bringing hot dogs to America, or as they like to call them back in Eastern European, Wienerwurst.
Wienerwurst, so, yes.
Many people think of hot dogs as being like an American favorite, but they were like not. They were an Eastern European favorite, and nobody knew them or liked them at all.
Classic.
Classic America co-opting. So anyway, he worked at like what they called a quote exotic sausage restaurant. And
what do you mean in quotes? Was it actually like in quotes?
it was written in this article in quotes. However, when I think of a quote exotic sausage restaurant, I think of something very different.
Yes.
My mind automatically goes to cock and balls.
Yeah, I'm thinking of like, you know, the little dancer guys with the bow tie on and no shirt in the
Chippendales.
Yeah, that's definitely where the Chippendales work.
but make it food.
Yeah.
So like inside each one of their like, you know, little underwear packages of actual exotic.
Their underwear packages. Yeah. So they just come up to the table and they take off their pants and inside their underwear package is an exotic sausage.
Exactly. You dip that thing in some spicy mustard and that's amore.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so anyway, he works at this fucking exotic sausage factory, dancing the night away. Owned by a guy named Charles Feltman. Again, another kind of funny name, Handwacker and Feltman, at the sausage factory. So anyway, he borrows, in 1916, he borrows $300 from his friend, and Handwacker opens his own wiener stand with a plan to undersell Feltman, the owner of the exotic.
Oh, so they're enemies now. They're frenemies.
They are now mortal enemies. Okay. And enter the buzzard. I'm just kidding. And then he employs a flock of buzzards, and the rest is history.
No.
Okay. He sells hot dogs for 5 cents a piece, half of what Feltman was charging, which I know is cheap, but it still kind of shocked me for like 1916. I was like, 10 cents for a hot dog seems like expensive for 1916.
Well, it doesn't seem that expensive to me because it's going to take him forever to get the $300 back to his buddy at 5 cents a pop.
That's very true. That's a very good point. I mean, hopefully he's selling, I don't know, something else, a wiener schnitzel or something that's more expensive.
Yes.
So anyway, he makes a bunch of money because he's selling stuff for that cheap. It's like a good kind of business model. His prices are so low that people are accusing him of not using all beef hot dogs and that he's maybe using other animal meat. And some people are wondering, and this is disgusting, if he is maybe, if there's more, quote, more to the name than dachshund sausages, than just a silly piece of slang. I guess they called them dachshund sausages or whatever. I say dachshund. Somebody call a dachshund. Maybe they say dachshund.
Is anybody anyway, here a dachshund?
is any of these sausages made of dachshund?
So they were like, okay, maybe there's dog meat in here. Well, it says exotic sausage restaurant right in the name. So to me,
that's,
I think it's fine. I'm not mad about that.
Me neither, but here's my biggest qualm with this. And I don't know if this makes any sense. But a dachshund doesn't seem like it would be very meaty. I would think if you were going to put dog in your sausage, wouldn't you want to put like pit bull or like bulldog, like a dachshund? How much meat's in a dachshund? You'd need like thousands of dachshunds to put in there.
Hundreds of thousands of dachshunds flown in and, like, by buzzards.
And drop into a big grinding machine.
Yeah, they just drop them right in with their leashes on and everything.
Exactly. And there's not too much meat on a dachshund. And they have important jobs saving lives.
Do they save lives?
Yeah, somebody call a dachshund.
Oh, yeah. I think St. Bernards are more into saving lives, though. And they would be great for sausage because they're humongous.
Exactly. I'm just saying, look, you might as well put a chihuahua in there. There's no meat on a dachshund, and I don't think that he was putting dachshund meat into the sausages, but I would buy that he was probably putting, like, some other meat, like, probably pig.
Or horses, even.
Sure, a horse. That makes more sense. Why would you use a fucking dachshund when you could use a horse?
Yeah, I think people were just trying to make a little joke. They're like, oh, exactly. Yeah. But it wasn't funny, because it's the 1910s, and, like, it's not funny.
Yeah, it's too soon. Okay, so anyway, he tried to play it up as like all press is good press, and he started doing really well, and he hires college students posing as doctors in lab coats to sit in front of the hot dog stand and eat hot dogs, authorizing that his food was made with kosher healthy meat. So there's like fake doctors sitting
in front of First of all, I did not know people went to college in 1916. Second of all, he thinks that people are going to be like, oh, you know, I'm not sure how healthy this is, but oh, look, there's a doctor with his full doctor outfit. He's wearing his doctor outfit, which he's not allowed to do, I don't think, outside of the hospital. And he's just chopping on a hot dog and everyone's like
writing his findings based on nothing. Meanwhile, the doctor is actually just a tiny dachshund dressed up as a doctor.
It's a buzzard holding a dachshund.
And go.
Just in a lab coat.
this
was the first example of I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV, is what you're telling me.
Exactly. Okay. I'm not a dachshund, but I am in this hot dog.
Yes. Oh, no.
No sense. Okay, so anyway, he names his stand Nathan's Famous based on nothing. He was not famous, and the rest is, as we like to say, folks, history.
He wasn't famous?
I mean, not really. I mean, he's like at a hot dog stand. It wasn't that famous, but okay. He said he was famous, and then he became famous, and that is a good life lesson, folks. All you have to do is just say you're something, and then you can become that.
Great. That's
and I the really American believe dream. That.
Yeah,
I just being a chef. I'm like, I'm a chef, and then people are like, all right, fine.
Okay, I guess you are. Why would someone lie about that?
Why would someone dress up like a chef when they weren't? Okay, so here's a little bit about the contest. So legend has it, and this is legend, and we're going to go into the legend in a minute. According to Nathans.com, legend has it that on July 4th, 1916, four immigrants gathered at the very first Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Stand on Coney Island and made eating contest history. They were competing to see who was more patriotic.
And they were able to prove that by how many hot dogs they ate?
According to Nathan's lore.
Okay.
How did they determine the winner? With a hot dog eating contest, that was the beginning of the annual contest, whichever Irishman could eat the most frankfurters and Austrian food popularized by a Polish people that takes its name from a German city would be the most American.
Yes, very good. Yeah, that's the classic American way to do that.
Exactly. It's the American dream. And that's what Kim Kardashian talks about in her interview.
Yes, hot dog eating contest.
She's very into it. That's why she has so much diarrhea. Okay. So then there's this guy, Morty Matz.
I love him already.
What a name, am I right? With a name like Morty Matz, it's got to be good. So he was like an integral figure in the advertisement industry at that time, and he admits that to sell more product, well, not at that time, more like during the 70s. So he admits that to sell more product, they had crafted a whole fake backstory about the contest, that it started in 1916 and made it look like it was like a tradition started by like four immigrants. So then he like reveals in this 2000...
It was a lie the whole time?
It was a lie. He reveals to New York Times in a 2010 interview that it was all a fucking lie crafted by a group of evil dachshunds.
Damn it. I'm upset.
I know. So not only was that a lie, but in the time, they reveal that Matz's canon includes a contest cancellation in 1942 for World War II, and the cancellation in 1971 to protest Richard Nixon at the Vietnam War, cancellation of the contest. Nathan's may have had an actual contest in 1967 as part of a celebration to mark the 100th anniversary of the hot dog coming to America, but all the rest of this was completely false.
What? So when was the first contest?
I will tell you in a moment. So a few publications
now
in 1967 records that the winner of the contest was a man named Walter Paul, who was able to finish 127 hot dogs in 1 hour.
No.
Current record is 74 in 10 minutes. However, it's unclear whether or not this man ever even existed.
I guess so if you have a whole hour, though, I could probably eat 127 hot dogs in an hour.
Like 127 hours, like that movie with James Franco when he eats his own arm off, but make it with hot dogs.
Does he eat his own arm off? I think he chops it off with a rock or something.
He was actually made of hot dogs, and so he ate it off. The first recorded mention of... Now, I just don't understand. This isn't like we're talking about, like, BC times. Like, this is like... Only
before Christ.
Years ago. They're like, there's just no way to tell when the first one was. So this is the first recorded mention of the competition is in 1972.
What?
And most likely the first year the annual contest was held. I'm like, really? We can't figure out?
Well,
like,
they had TV cameras in the 70s. There has to be some... We got to be able to find out if there was actually a contest in 72.
I mean, they're able to, like, recreate what dinosaurs looked like.
People
like,
how could... who are alive right now were also fully alive in 1972. So somebody has to be there. Someone who knows.
And that's why we're starting a new investigative podcast.
Yes. So listeners, if you have any information regarding the first year of the hot dog eating contest, please send in your tips.
It's very, very secretive. So, okay. Every year the contest, the attendees is like, the amount of people that are attending like rises. In 2018, the hot dog contest on July 4th at Coney Island attracted over 40,000 attendees to watch the reigning champion, Joey Chestnut, break the world record. And 2 million people tuned in to watch it on ESPN.
That's insane. But I do have an interesting sidebar. I recently just purchased Joey Chestnut's spicy mustard from the grocery store, and It's incredibly spicy and delicious. So I just wanted say that to everyone.
That's incredible, because I like include something at the end about the fact that he has his own line of sauces and like
I like to try new mustards, and I was like, Joey Chestnut, that sounds like a country music singer, which I thought it was a country music singer.
Sounds like one of the chipmunks to me.
And I was like, who better than to make a mustard flavor than a country music star? When I got home and I actually looked at it, you can tell that like it's not a country music star. It's in fact a hot dog eating contest winner. Anyway, sorry, sidebar, but very good mustard, very spicy.
Really? He would know mustard if anyone would, although I don't imagine put mustard on these things.
No, I don't think they have time.
They like dunk them in water. There is no time for mustard. So the reigning champ, Joey Chestnut, holds the world record. He ate 74 hot dogs in 10 minutes. That is equivalent, Nicole, to 16 pounds or as much. And this comparison made me sick, or as much as 42 billiard balls.
What? Okay, 74 hot... I mean, hot dogs are light, though. I don't feel like if you put 74 hot dogs in a pile, it would weigh as much as however many billiard balls you just said.
42. I just started imagining eating 42 pool balls. I was like, oh my God, that's so disgusting. I can't imagine what that feels like.
That does not sound healthy. Like, does he go to the doctor enough? Like, I don't know.
Allegedly, most of these competitive eaters are, like, kind of healthy people, generally. Like, they work out a lot. They eat healthy other than during their eating competitions. They're not really generally overweight. But I don't know. I don't really know, like, the ins and outs of what their colon looks like. Probably not great. So, Christian Chestnut is born November 25th, 1983. And this is according to Wikipedia, he's an American competitive eater. He's currently ranked first in the world by Major League Eating. He is a California native and resides in your home state, Nicole, Westfield, Indiana.
He lives in Indiana?
Yes, you could find him. He is 6 feet. You could actually even marry him because he's single. He's 6 feet tall and he weighs 123 pounds.
123 pounds?
No, 229 pounds.
Why does Wikipedia have his weight?
I don't know. Probably because he's a competitive eater.
I guess
so. Chestnut proposed to his longtime girlfriend, Nestle Riska, before defending his title in 2014, and the couple split up in early 2015 prior to their scheduled wedding date. Now, this is the part you're going to like, Nicole. He's worth $2.5
million. Wow. $2.5
million
hot dogs or dollars?
Hot dog dollars, which is like kind of like Monopoly money.
Because I thought they just paid you in hot dogs when you win the contest.
Well, then you have to sell the hot dogs for money on the street.
Okay, got it. $2.5 million in Indiana is like $5 million other places.
You can live forever, you and Joey Chestnut, and you can have all the hot dogs you can possibly imagine. So Joey Chestnut, his sauce line includes Chestnut's Firecracker Mustard. Is that what you had?
Yep, it's really good. Again, love it, you guys.
Okay, great. Boardwalk Coney Sauce and Deli Style Mustard.
Whoa. Coney sauce, that's just like meat sauce, right?
No, I mean, I don't know. I'm picturing it as being like ketchup and mayonnaise mixed together, but maybe it is meat sauce. But
a Coney dog has meat sauce on it, I thought.
Interesting. Let's look up. Can you look up with Coney sauces? Yeah,
it's important. Okay, listeners, pause us while we Google something on the
internet. Chestnut consumed over 12,000 calories in less than 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
2013. That is as much as 4 Thanksgiving dinners.
Well, okay, 4 Thanksgiving dinners, but like Thanksgiving dinners vary widely. So like what kind of Thanksgiving are we talking about? Like just stuffing, turkey, pumpkin pie, mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
And like green bean casserole.
Sure, with the fried onions. Okay, now here is an article in the failing New York Times by Richard Sandomir, which I just thought the byline was amazing. The hideous masters of gluttony. And then I'm just going to read a couple of paragraphs. He goes, I am here on orders of my wife. We were watching the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest Wednesday on ESPN with 17 contestants jamming wieners and wet buns down their eager yap for the greater glory of the gross interpermanence when Griffin said to me, this is disgusting. Write about it. I guess Griffin is his wife.
We actually... also, just... We should call this episode Wet Buns, because we were just talking about Kim Kardashian's wet buns earlier.
We should. This is a wet bun episode if we've ever had one. He goes on to say, quote, "We actually watched only 20 minutes of an evening replay, which included the 12 crucial minutes that ended with Joey Chestnut winning without any of the 66 hot dogs and buns he ingested, leaving the mouth they entered. Then I taped the 2:30 a.m. replay and watched a fascinating parody of sports television, a Coney Island Carnival act on cable that was such an all-out hoot that I can't wait to cook up some Hebrew Nationals." This man is definitely a huge neoliberal.
That's interesting that he wouldn't cook up Nathan's hot dogs.
Absolutely. He wasn't like he wasn't even watching. He doesn't even get it.
Okay, so the jury is in. So Coney sauce is a meat sauce, but Joey Chestnut's Coney sauce is more of like a ketchup looking sort of a like a condiment. There's no meat chunks in it.
Mayo. I had a feeling that it wouldn't have the meat in the squeeze bottle. Although
yeah, it'd be hard to get the little chunks out through the squeeze hole. No. I was picturing like a canned good of Coney sauce.
Myself. Oh, got it that you like heat up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Here's a statistic that I'd like to share. 829 million people still go hungry worldwide. After steadily declining for a decade, world hunger is on the rise, affecting nearly 10% of the people globally.
10%? That's insane.
I know. From 2019 to 2022, the number of undernourished people grew by as many as 150 million, a crisis driven largely by conflict, climate change, and COVID-19. So just a little thing when we're thinking about competitive eating, there are 829 million people who are malnourished in this world.
Well, way to bring it down.
I know. I wanted to end it on a low note in case, like, I knew that you're looking forward to your new life with Joey Chestnut, but...
Oh, yeah. Is he, like, an attractive person? I think he might be on the mustard container. I thought he was older. But since hot dog eating was invented, I guess it would make sense that he would be a young man.
Yeah. He just looks like a white guy.
Also, Chestnut, what a great last name.
Such a great last name. A wonderful, perfect last name. Chestnuts also are delicious. I love them. My mom and my grandma always put them in stuffing. And I like chestnut, like, soup. Like, a creamy chestnut soup is delicious.
I've never had a chestnut soup. Oh, yeah. Man, these are not flattering photos of Joey Chestnut because they're right when he's eating disgusting wet buns.
I know. And when you start dating him, you're going to have to tell us how it goes when you just, like, do you want to come over for dinner? And you, like, make, like, a roast chicken, and he just, like, basically puts the whole thing in his mouth and sucks the meat off the bone. And
yeah, because he's like, I'm used to eating 4 Thanksgiving dinners at a time, not just one serving of food.
Joey Chestnut, you freak.
Yeah, well, I have to go find him in Westfield, Indiana. I guess I'll just go... It can't be that hard to find his address. They have his weight on Wikipedia, so I'll let you guys know how it goes.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be so funny if you started dating Joey Chestnut?
Yes, it would be funny. I'd be like, just carry the mustard bottle around and be like, do you recognize this man?
Exactly. Over there. Just, like, in a corner, like, practicing eating hot dogs and wet, slippery buns. They, like, dunk those... water. It's disgusting.
I know. And then I'm like, that's why I'm like, why do they even have to have the bun at all? Because I'm like, the obvious thing is like, they're not enjoying this. Like, if I'm eating a hot dog, I'm definitely going to have a hot dog bun because that's my vibe. But like, if these guys they're not eating for enjoyment, they're just eating for money. So why do they even have the bun at all? I don't understand it. And then dunking it in water to dissolve it is just like, it seems so stupid to me.
I know. The whole thing is wild. I want to just read you from the, like, World Eating Championship website, the other competitive eating competitions that they have worldwide.
Okay, great.
Or country. I should say countrywide. I'm not sure they do this in other countries. So there's a buffalo wing eating contest, which I think seems really spicy and bad. That's like Kim Kardashian level diarrhea right there.
What is the – do you know the top number of wings eaten?
Let's see. I can look right now. I don't know. It doesn't say, but you can win $5,000.
Okay. I don't really like wings, but I guess I could use the cash.
At last year's event, the great Mickey Sudu ate 246 wings in 12 minutes.
No. Oh,
and Joey Chestnut ate just 2 wings less than that.
Joey Chestnut does more than hot dog eating?
Oh, yeah. He'll eat anything.
Damn.
He'll eat anything.
So, like, 247 wings, how many chickens is that?
That's a good question. Well, they do grow those chickens with lots of wings, so. Okay, now this is interesting. This one should be illegal. The World Championship Banana Pudding Eating Championship.
I like banana pudding. How much can you win for that? Because I would go for that.
You could win $5,000. So Jeff, spelled G-E-O-F-F, Jeff Esper ate 15.5 pounds in 8 minutes.
So, okay, here's my question. If you're doing a pudding eating contest, do you use a spoon or do you put your face right in there to save time?
Or a really big straw.
Oh, good idea.
You know what I'm saying? A huge straw.
The pudding is also an interesting contest because you don't really have to chew anything. So you just kind of like suck it right down there.
Now, we have in Mattituck, New York, really near to where I grew up, this past June, was the Mattituck Lions Club Strawberry Shortcake Eating Championship. Again, Geoff Esper, who must be like a master of the smushy eating foods, won $3,500 for eating 18.25 pounds of strawberry shortcake in 8 minutes.
18 pounds?
Mm-hmm.
That's too many strawberries shortcakes.
Yes, I agree.
Did he get $5,000 for this? Because at this point, this man's eaten 40 pounds of food and he's only got 10 grand.
Well, here he is again, Nicole, at Lubbock, Texas. Only days later, 6/11/2022, winner, Geoff Esper. Maybe you should go for Geoff instead. I don't know where he lives, but he ate 32 egg rolls.
32 doesn't seem like that many.
I know, but it doesn't say how many minutes they had, but I guess it probably wasn't very many.
He only ate 32 egg rolls, but he ate like over 200 wings, which are roughly the same size. I guess it takes longer to kind of consume a wing.
Maybe they were really hot. You know what I mean?
Like spicy?
Oh, man. Yeah, like just hot, like blazing hot right out of the fryer.
I could eat 32 egg rolls in the length of this podcast. No problem.
Well, dude, this guy is fucking crazy. Another win for Geoff Esper. He ate 31.5 pepperoni rolls in 10 minutes.
The pepperoni roll eating contest? That doesn't even seem real.
No, it's like so fringe, and he won $5,000 for that. Let's see about Jack's donut eating contest. Geoff Esper again. Geoff Esper ate 293 donut holes in 8 minutes. Fucking monster.
293 donut holes in how long?
10 minutes. This guy can eat anything.
This guy, man, I could also eat 293 donut holes, though. I got to enter this contest.
Okay, well, here's one he didn't win. The National Sweet Corn Eating Championship, which I think I could be a competitor, and I love corn. let's see. The winner of this was Gideon Ohi, ate 54 ears of corn, a Florida sweet corn, in 12 minutes. Corn is good. I wonder if they have to eat
them. Corn is very good, but also, if you eat 54 ears of corn, you're definitely going to have a toilet issue.
That's true. You're going to have some Kim Kardashian on that shit. Okay, look, Geoff Esper, he's back again. In April of this past year, he eats, 11.5 pizzas.
What kind of pizza? What was on there? Was it pineapple? Because that's fucked up.
I guess it was a whole pizza. I think maybe just a margarita.
Which is like a classic. Oh, it was like a wood-fired pizza. It wasn't like a crust.
No, hand-tossed pizza. Hand 28 tossed. Pies. Yeah, like a slice pie.
Huh. He ate 11.5. He couldn't get all 12 in there.
Ew, that's so fucking much pizza. That's crazy. That's so crazy. Like, it's mind-bending to me. Like, ugh.
I can eat 12 pizzas.
Oscar, he's good.
Oh, yeah, he's the best. I get not as good as Joey Chestnut, who hasn't won any of these.
I know. I mean, Joey Chestnut seems to have, like, a real niche, you know, for the... Oh, no, wait, look. Joey Chestnut also won the pumpkin pie eating championship.
Oh, yes, a man after my own heart. How many pumpkin pies did he eat?
16 pounds. 16 pounds. Geoff Esper... only ate 15 pounds, 12 ounces.
A crushing blow to his career.
Crushing blow to Geoff Esper.
So, Geoff. Well, this keeps in the theme with Joey Chestnut wanting to eat four Thanksgivings at a time if he ate 16 pounds of pumpkin pie.
Yeah, I wonder how much stuffing he can eat. Okay, what are your top three favorite things about summer?
Top three favorite things. Swimming in the ocean. Swimming in general. Mm-hmm. Swimming.
Sure, swimming is great. We love it.
Swimming in fresh water. Swimming in salt water. Swimming in a pool. I'm a big fan of swimming.
Same.
I also like to, I like corn. And also, you know, I don't really like tomatoes, but I've been eating tomatoes because they're in season right now. And so tomato sandwiches have been a popular moment in my life. I had two this week.
I'm shocked by this news. Honestly, I'm aghast. I'm aghast at your tomato sandwich party.
I know, but they're like, you know, good, like local in-season tomatoes. And you just slice them up thin, put a mayonnaise on there. Slap the other bread on there. It's good.
I know. I agree. It's good. That's like the best.
And that's how you make a tomato sandwich, in case anyone did not know. It's a complex recipe.
Sure.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I like just the warm weather and the sun, which is, you know, going to go away. And then seasonal depression will attack us once again.
Mm, yes. It's just around the corner. I like nectarines.
Mm, yeah, those are good.
Oh, they're so delicious. I like barbecues.
Yes.
And the smell of like a barbecue, of like someone just starting up that barbecue and you're like, oh, I should go to that person's house. They have the barbecue going. And I like summer blockbusters.
Oh yeah. Although I haven't been going to the blockbusters this year, but yeah, as a theme, definitely love those.
Yeah. I recommend seeing Nope. I think you would like it.
It's, yeah, I want to see it. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, it's really fun. Okay, and we'll check back once we see Don't Worry, Baby. And if anyone has any information on Spitgate, please let us know.
Yes, please. And also, if what happened in 1972 with the first hot dog eating contest, we need...
Yes, of course. I wonder if they're linked somehow. All right, folks. Nicole, what a fun episode. Love you so much. And hasta la pasta.
Bye.
Life's a Banquet is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.